interrupts this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National Guard...
Time, we are bringing you the full story of what happened. We are giving you all the evidence based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of
Joshua P. Warren?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it, we go in the field to investigate. Here's a creepy story from San Clemente, California. Now, imagine if you lived in a household with a little daughter, and one morning you walk outside, and you find there, on the doorstep outside, someone has left a little porcelain doll wearing either a nightgown or a lacy dress, and it looks very much like your daughter. Well, would that bother you? I bet it would. And guess what? That has happened to at least 8 homes in a neighborhood there just this past week. The families have obviously been worried, especially considering how carefully crafted these dolls are, how personalized and customized. And so they, of course, turned this over to the authorities. And the sheriff's department has now said it found the person responsible, and the intent had been goodwill, but no further details have been released. According to the sheriff's lieutenant there, he said the dolls and their apparent resemblance to real girls left families feeling creepy. Yeah, I bet it did. And we've got plenty of other creepy things that we're going to share with you on this program tonight. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer is Sam, the Animal Steel. Good evening, Sam.
Good evening, sir. How goes it?
I am, I think I've used the word creepy about 3 or 4 times already tonight, and we're just getting started.
I know.
Because there is a lot of creepy stuff in the news, weird things, and even some of it that stems from right there in Asheville, North Carolina, which, of course, Asheville is my hometown. It's where you've lived most of your life. It's also the place that investigator Shelley Wright calls home. How are you doing this evening, Shelley?
She is at the door. I'm going to go get her right now.
Okay, great. Okay, very good. Shelley has she's on her way in, so we'll let Sam run and do that. And, You know, here is why tonight is so exciting for me. I am one of the world's foremost experts on ghosts, right? I am literally the guy who wrote the book on how to hunt ghosts. Well, therefore, I see a lot of so-called ghost photos every year. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of them. And people ask me to analyze these, and it's gotten tougher as the years have gone by because, you know, technology has become so advanced. You can get apps out there now that just inspire people to hoax photos. They've got little automated features that will allow you to insert some, you know, pre-made ghost image into a real photograph. And so that makes it a little tricky. But when you get these pictures in and you're looking at them from an analytical point of view, the first thing that you do, of course, is you want to just examine it photographically. Is there anything that obviously stands out here as an explanation that could have caused an illusion? Say, is there someone pointing the camera at the sun? Or does it seem to be rainy or misty? Or is there some reflection? I mean, you go down that list. And if all that checks out, the next thing you want to look at is the sort of technical data embedded within the image, which could be something like a negative if this is film. But if it's some image taken on a cell phone, well, then you're going to want to look at the digital information encoded in that image. And if it passes through those checks, well, then the last step, which I believe is just as important, especially nowadays, is getting the photographer to stand up and say, hey, here is who I am, here is my name, here is where I live, I took this photograph, here's when I took it, here's where I took it, here were the conditions, and I'll stand by this. And what you'll find is that time and time again, that is the hardest level to achieve, because a typical scenario for me would be, you know, somebody sends me a photograph, they email it to me, or they post it to Facebook or something, and you look at it and you say, well, this definitely looks like there is a clear ghostly image, and you say, where did this come from? And then the reply you get is, well, my daughter's friend at school was at this graveyard one night, and she took this on her cell phone. And you say, okay, well, great. Well, who is she? You know, and suddenly, boom, trail goes cold. And that's the kind of thing that happens all the time. When somebody actually has to step forth and get serious and say, I took this picture, not going to happen. In fact, if you go right now to joshuapwarren.com and scroll down, I think you can still find a hoax photograph that came out last year from Helen's Bridge that got a lot of people excited. But I was asked to analyze it and went through the proper steps, and turns out, nope, this was one of those pictures created with an app, and so I have it posted there as a warning. Well, given all that I've just told you, you can see how exciting it is when it appears that a legitimate ghost photograph that is showing some kind of a full-bodied figure has come forward. And so tonight, you are going to get an exclusive here on Speaking of Strange. And that's because I was contacted by a couple named Greg and Sue Becker, and they live in Waterloo, Iowa. Well, last month, they came down to Asheville on a vacation. And on Wednesday, June 18th, they took a ghost tour of downtown Asheville at night. And at one point, not surprisingly, they were guided down Church Street, which is one of the most famous and spooky places in Asheville at night. And they stopped in front of the United Methodist Church, which has a variety of, you know, wild stories attached to it. In fact, a lot of them are probably more fiction than fact, but nonetheless, we'll get into some of that later. Well, Greg, he took out his cell phone, and he took a series of photographs. And that's always important. If you're going to actually go out and try to catch a picture of something ghostly, take a bunch of photographs, because that gives you some controls and comparisons if you actually capture anything. Well, he sent me these pictures, and one of these pictures
does actually seem to show clearly some kind of what I think is a full-bodied ghostly apparitional form. And he also, of course, sent the controls, and I called him on the telephone and talked to him, and he sounded very credible, and he agreed to come on this program tonight and tell you in his own words about that night, how he took this photograph, and then we are going to use his interview tonight along with what other analysis that we've done, and we're going to send that to some of our expert friends, people like Vance Pollock, forensic historian, to have him go back and see what he can find related to that date, June 18th, at the church. We have people like Mobius digging even more deeply into some of the technical analysis. So this is kind of exciting, and I'm very proud that we're going to be able to bring Greg Becker on the program a little bit later to tell you about this picture. If you go right now to speakingofstrange.com, you will be able to see this image. And I guess what I can tell you is, and I was uncertain about how I should handle this part of the show tonight, because I would like to tell you what I see when I look at this picture, but I don't think I want to do it just yet. I think I want to give those of you who are online a chance to go to the website and look at the picture first and kind of get your own thoughts in order, and then later I'll tell you what I think. Now, I know, Sam, you've looked at this picture without telling us exactly what you see. What was your first impression when you saw this image?
Well, first off, just let me say I thought it was the best email I've gotten from you yet. So when I see Joshua P. Warren, and then I saw the headline or the tagline being like ghost picture, I was like, ooh, okay, cool. So it was a very cool one to open, as opposed to just straight business stuff. And second of all, so I opened, you know, there was two attachments, and I opened them up in a photo manipulation software, you know, and I boosted some things. And I mean, I clearly saw, what, without saying, without bursting the bubble, something very interesting as well. And Miss Wright, what did you see in there?
I was amazed, and I replied to you, Joshua. Holy crap! Only I didn't say crap. It was amazing, and it just jumped out at me right away. And I swear, every time I looked at that photo, something new emerged from it. I think I see
looking
what you're talking about.
Looking forward to talking about it, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, and of course, I immediately saw what I thought was a clear humanoid image, and you guys obviously did as well. But I wonder if we each see this image of this thing the same way. Is it doing the same thing,
so to speak? We have not spoken of it together yet.
That's right, we haven't. So this is a really great test. Like, this is how you should do it when somebody comes forth and presents a great photo. You give everybody a chance to look at the evidence. You bring the photographer on. Then you use all that to bring it to even more experts. And we're doing our due diligence here to get to the bottom of this fantastic new image. So stick around. I told you it's going to be a creepy, creepy, creepy show. When we come back, one of the creepiest stories I've read in a while. It has to do with what a guy found under his bed in his hotel room. Take a guess. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. Presented by Wright's Coin Shop, this is Speaking of Strange.
Thank you. that colored me. Extreme ways that held me, that held me out late at night. Extreme places I had gone, but never seen any light. Dirty basements, dirty noise, dirty places coming through. Extreme worlds alone, did you ever like it then? I would stand in line for this. There's always room in life for this.
From the heart of the Bermuda Triangle, the Isle of Enchantment, Puerto Rico, hitchhiking the ET Highway, I'm your host, the Wizard of Weird, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, presented to you by Wright's Coin Shop, and you can call Wright's Coin Shop at 828-298-5402, and you can find a link to their website if you go to speakingofstrange.com. And if you go there right now, well, you can take a look, get your own little preview of this ghost photograph that we're going to be taking a closer look at and discussing more later on the program. You'll also find a live chat during the show, regular updates on weird news around the world, more information on topics discussed, links to things like my official Haunted Asheville ghost tour. And you can go to hauntedasheville.com and see how, well, you yourself might be able to stroll the streets and get a good photo. Hauntedasheville.com. And also there you'll find a link to our Facebook page, Twitter, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, we've been talking about ghostly things. And I read this story from Mount Laurel, New Jersey. Headline, New Jersey female body found under motel bed, and police say the body had been there 5 years.
Ew.
Yeah. So there was a guy staying in the room, and he said, quote, I dropped the television remote, and when I went to check under the bed, I found her. It was like something out of a scary movie, end quote. They said clearly the body seemed to have laid there undisturbed in the room for about 5 years. There was a normal amount of rot and decay on the body to suggest it had not been moved or touched over that course of time. And the motel has told police they're constantly cleaning their rooms and have no idea how this could have slipped beneath the cracks. A housekeeper told the press, quote, I clean that room every day. I noticed the smell several times and told my manager, and he told me to just use extra Febreze in the room, and it would go away eventually. I always hated cleaning that room, end quote. They go on to say,
sucks.
Well, somebody else says, well, they just kind of run the vacuum around the edges of the bed, and, you know, they don't get down and look underneath it. But now... Here is here's what the police chief said. He said, I've seen a lot of strange things in my time on the force. But to think about all the people who've stayed in this room with a dead body and they didn't know about it, it gives me the heebie-jeebies. And the chief goes on to say, now listen to this, guys. He says, quote, funny thing is, the occupant records – show literally almost 1,000 complaints from people who stayed in that room over the years. Everything from a bad smell to an eerie feeling. Several people even asked to switch rooms in the middle of the night after reporting a ghost.
Yeah. Isn't that why they put like those boxes under the beds, you know, like so you can't go under the bed, you know, like so you don't lose a shoe or a body or whatnot?
At least they're going to be found more quickly.
You know, you got to dump them in the shower and run, you know, and then nobody has to spend the night on top of the corpse.
I've worked in the hospitality industry, and that is just uncalled for. I mean, I've seen some shoddy housekeeping, but...
That takes a cake.
Well, you know, this story is so incredible that Mobius was the person who first discovered this, and he dug into it, and he added a notation on here for me, and the notation is... This is not a fake story, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. So that's pretty wild when a story's, you know, so fitting to be, you know, you could envision this as like a fictional campfire story, but no, if you dig into it, it's real.
I mean, it's not just a smell. There are bugs.
Well, just for a little while. I mean, eventually the leakage stops, and then it really just is dried out, like Mother in Psycho.
Yeah, I guess so. It
depends on mummified after a while.
Yeah, the climate. Well, one thing about these hotel rooms is, you know, people go into the room and a lot of times they just blast the air conditioner, and that dries it out. And when the humidity is really low, that can slow that rate of decay that you would otherwise experience. Say, if this were like, I don't know, some unair conditioned hotel, it'd be a little harder to understand, but.
Okay, here's something else really gross. Think about this. They probably, I would bet money, they hadn't washed the comforter on that bed since the dead person laid in that bed.
Did it say in there, did I miss you saying this, how, like, was it ever determined it was a murder?
Murder.
So, because, like, how does the body get under the bed? Somebody shoved it under the bed and it's just been there?
Yeah, it had to be.
Yeah. Yes, I don't know that they are releasing any very specific details here about exactly what happened yet, but...
Moment of silence for someone's grandma.
And do we know the hotel chain? Because I ain't ever staying there.
No, I don't have the chain. But in some cases, though, it's not good even if you have that kind of information to release it, because this kind of stuff can get legally... Harry.
Well, then you can just tell me off my...
Legally leaky.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, here's another weird story that is giving some people some confusing feelings. They're not sure whether or not they should be creeped out or just outraged or how to take this. But a priest in Poland has made international headlines because he is sincerely claiming the devil... will not stop texting him. So here's the story. He is a Catholic priest, and he recently attempted to perform an exorcism on a teenage girl. Well, apparently that exorcism went awry, and now Lucifer will not stop texting his phone.
I wonder what kind of plan he has, because I can't get service half the way, you know, half the places around Western North Carolina. Satan's getting service out of hell.
Well, if he gets a new number, do you think that Satan's going to, you know, bother finding it?
He's the Lord of Darkness, Shelley. He's going to find the number.
Don't you think he has better things to do than to look up some guy's phone number and text him?
He's Satan.
Well, the priest claimed that the texts are being sent from the phone of the supposedly possessed girl, and the devil told him he should just give up on trying to save her. He said, quote, "She will not come out of this hell. She's mine.
See,
anyone who prays for her will die."
I'd dig my heels in at that. I'd cast him out so quick. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And also, the devil furthermore told him to, quote, "Shut up, preacher. You cannot save yourself. You're pathetic."
I like your male Linda Blair voice.
I do, too.
It's pretty good.
And really, the best that the Lord of Darkness has to throw at this guy is text messages.
Of
really?
His Satan wiener.
Yeah, okay, well...
I was just going to throw it out there before you did. I figured Satan Wiener was coming somewhere in this conversation.
Sometimes I have to view your comments like I'm an ostrich and I just put my head in the sand and pretend if I didn't hear it, it didn't happen. So I'm not responsible for what it produces in the world. Okay, well, hey, we're going to come back, and I've got some news that I'm going to kind of break with all of you about a fantastic, super cool new project that I am working on with George Nori of Coast to Coast AM. And it's going to transpire here over the next couple of weeks. I've got my work cut out for me, and you'll understand why when I tell all on the program, where the unusual becomes usual, where we enjoy sharing the news that you don't hear so much about in the mainstream media otherwise. It's brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop, 828-298-5402, Wright's Coin Shop. And it's called Speaking of Strains. Irresistible grasp. Can't keep my eyes from the sunny sky. Tongue tied and twisted, just an earthbound kissing.
Question, man, see if you know what's up. Pick this. Who fuses the music with no illusions? Producing the blueprints. Clueless? Automator. The fighter laws of nature. Electronic monolith. Throw a jam upon the disc. The futuristic loop it with the quickness. Hyper-producing. Hydrogen fusion liquids. Keep your disc. Keep your disc.
Spending your evening with us on this program that takes you into not one, not two, but a plethora of rabbit holes. Who knows where we're going to come out. It's called Speaking of Strange, and it's presented to you by Wright's Coin Shop in Asheville, North Carolina. And before I get back to some really fascinating news stories, I mentioned that I am working on a project here with George Nori and his team at Coast to Coast AM. And obviously I am frequently a guest on Coast to Coast AM, and I do correspondence for that program. George has been on Speaking of Strange, we've done TV shows together, and so he seemed like the perfect guy to team up with, considering that August 15th is going to be the anniversary of what is called the WOW signal. And for some of you, that may just ring a bell, so to refresh your memory some, on August 15th of 1977, at the Big Ear Telescope at Ohio State University, a scientist monitoring the radio telescopes had a 72-second signal come in from outer space that seemed so well-organized and intelligent and perhaps meaningful that he simply wrote the word WOW in the margin with an exclamation point. It apparently came from the direction of the constellation Sagittarius. It was, as far as we know, a one-time event. However, since then, over the decades, scientists have scanned the cosmos trying to locate that again. And supposedly, you know, it's one of the greatest mysteries in mainstream science, because nobody argues that you know, this was a credible, or this wasn't a credible signal. I mean, everybody agrees that this was some kind of an almost miraculously well-designed signal from space. So we know the universe operates kind of like gigantic clockwork. And so maybe if that span of time, August 15th, was appropriate for somebody out there to try to send a message to us, well, then maybe that would be a good time for us to try to send a message back. And so here I am right now in Puerto Rico at the Bermuda Triangle Research Base, and I am right sort of, so to speak, you know, down the road from Arecibo, famous for the Arecibo Observatory, the largest radio satellite dish on planet Earth, used in the movie Contact. And this is what many think of as Earth's telephone to the cosmos. So I was invited to attend a big ham radio operators convention festival in Arecibo, Puerto Rico, recently. And it was just an amazing experience for me. It lived up to all my expectations. I got all day long, I got to talk to radio operators from not only around Arecibo, but this whole island. And I talked to a NASA scientist who's constantly doing experiments in outer space. I talked to a guy who's a bigwig with Homeland Security. I talked to people who hold world records for various broadcasting feats. It was amazing. And I was telling all of them, you know, this anniversary is coming up, and I'd like to try to send a message of some kind back into space and just see, you know, if we can establish some contact. And so they were teaching me sort of what is required to do this. And I'm proud to say that I actually walked out of there that day with my brand new absolute comprehensive broadcasting package. I've got a whole nice big ham radio set here, so even I can broadcast into outer space personally now.
Did they give you that? That was like a parting gift?
No, I had to buy it.
At the gift shop? You get it at the Arecibo?
No, when these guys have these festivals, a lot of them will set up booths, and they just sort of sell their, you know, very technical stuff back and forth between one another, and everybody knows what it's worth. And I got a fantastic deal. There's no doubt about it. But it's, I mean, this is a set that is powerful enough. I mean, I could go outside and sit there and talk to people on the International Space Station as they go over if I want to.
Cool.
Yeah. I, after learning, you know, about this whole process, I figured, well, okay, if we're going to send a message into space on August 15th, you know, who should do that? And it'd be easy for me to be egotistical and say, well, I will represent mankind, and I will speak back to the visitors from afar. But realistically, you know, George Norrie, he every single weeknight is sitting there talking to millions of people around the world. He is always interviewing Nobel Prize winners and visionaries, and he just seemed like the perfect spokesperson for this. And so I talked to George, and he agreed to produce a message, and the message has been produced, it's in his voice. I don't want to reveal what the message to the aliens is yet, but I will tell you this. Included in the message is a set of GPS coordinates. And part of the message is a request for the visitors to appear in the skies over this set of GPS coordinates on that date. And I am going to have a variety of cameras set up there. One of them is going to be a webcam that's going to be transmitting live images all day from this spot out to the world. And I'm also going to have a pair of third generation night vision goggles hooked up that evening. And
from your stalker days.
Yeah. And we're going to have lots of cameras recording the skies at this area. And what I'm going to do is, you know, this, we're calling this the Arecibo Project because it began with these radio operators sort of helped me out in Arecibo. But I figured, hey, you know, why don't we just expand this? It's like, yes, we'll be there doing this, but I'm going to put a plea out there to anybody in the world who happens to have ham radio technology that can reach outer space. I'm going to be giving out a website soon. I'm not going to give it out tonight. It's not ready yet. But when it is, I'm going to give out a website. You'll go to this website, and you'll be able to get those GPS coordinates. You'll be able to download the message from George, and there will be instructions on how you can also broadcast this on August 15th from whatever your position happens to be into space. And, of course, then I'm going to analyze all this stuff, and I'm going to go on Coast to Coast AM, and hopefully we'll have something amazing. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, but it's a worthy project. So just keep in mind, it's actually taking a little more work to put this together and coordinate than I originally thought. But over the next couple weeks, I'm going to be putting all this into place. And once the website is up, you should be able to visit that site and look at the skies whenever you get a chance all day. And maybe this will be it, man. I mean, maybe this will be that Independence Day scenario when the clouds start churning and the UFO breaks through and we're all cheering until they start vaporizing us.
Right? Yeah, I was going to say, or you're just inviting like some hellacious fury. Like, just by accident, yeah. You're like, I just meant well, guys. I really was just trying to send a message into space. I didn't mean to obliterate the whole Earth.
That's how it would turn out, yes. That road to hell paved with good intentions. So now you all kind of know, and I'm very excited about it, though, and I figure, well, if these beings are already here, and I've got plenty of good evidence that they are when you look at some of these images that are coming, especially out of the Puerto Rico area, seems like they're already here, but maybe nobody's making a good public cohesive attempt to officially establish some kind of a revelation, if you will. Maybe I shouldn't use that word, huh? Establish maybe an apocalypse of some sort.
You're making it worse.
How do you feel about this, Shelley Wright?
I'm thinking that I don't want aliens to take a good hard look at us because we would look like yummy French fries and they would want to dip us in ketchup and eat us.
Not according to our guest last week, because she said they were very small, remember? I don't think they could have eaten us like French fries.
I still think that we would probably look mighty tasty.
And she even strangled one.
She did. But then she felt really bad.
I enjoyed her a lot.
I did too.
Yeah.
Nice well, time. You know, you can see after last week, we've had a lot of great feedback, and, you know, she's not one of these people who sounds like she should be wearing a tinfoil hat. I mean, she comes on, she says, look, this is what happened, and, you know, I tend to believe her.
Dad liked the segment. He thought it was good.
Cool. Yeah. Excellent. Glad to hear that. I know, especially a man of his caliber, a mathematical critical thinker. Okay, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to share this story with you. It's got a very interesting headline from Fort Wayne, Indiana. How's this for a headline? Woman lets God drive car. God immediately runs down guy on motorcycle. I will explain when we come back. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. This is SpeakingOfStrange.com.
You hardly ever saw Granddaddy down here. He only come to town about twice a year.
Touch me.
the final minutes of hour number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's program is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop, and you may call them at 828-298-5402 and talk to Miss Shelley Wright. And coming up next hour now, after our little break here soon, well, we're going to have Mr. Greg Becker with us on the line. And if you missed the earlier part of this hour, well, he and his wife are from Iowa, and last month they took a photograph in Asheville, North Carolina, that seems to show a full-bodied ghostly apparition. And we're going to talk to Greg about that night and get his take on it and use that to further investigate what he may have captured. So it's pretty exciting. And if you go to speakingofstrange.com, you can take a look at that image yourself. He gave me permission to post it up there for you to check it out. Let me also just mention this. If you go there, you'll see a link to a sale that I have right now on some instantly downloadable PDFs of some of my more popular works, especially some of the more like recent shorter ones. You can go there, follow the link, and you'll also find it at joshuapwarren.com and download the Wishing Machine Workbook, which includes a free wishing machine. You can it's a virtual wishing machine now. It's not the physical one. You'll also be able to download the Poor Man's Paranormal, which is how to take household items and turn them into paranormal investigation equipment. You can download the Brown Mountain Lights Viewing Guide, and we'll even throw in a freebie, Practical Wand Making. Very cool. And right now it's on sale, and you can download all of it for $9.95. So take advantage of that at speakingofstrange.com, and you'll find it also for the time being at joshuapwarren.com. So here is the story from Fort Wayne, Indiana. A woman who smashed into and ran over a motorcyclist there told police that she had let God drive her car when she ran down the 47-year-old man, leaving him with serious injuries, but ecstatic to be alive. The 25-year-old woman also rammed the back of a Ford pickup truck before running her 2006 Pontiac Grand Prix off the road onto a median next to a burger restaurant. The woman appeared in court to explain the bizarre incident. She was charged with failing to stop after an accident, criminal recklessness, and two counts of criminal mischief. And she said here she was driving down the road when, quote, out of nowhere, God told her in a stern voice that he would take it from here and she should let off the wheel and let him take it, end quote. So she obeyed. And as soon as she let go of the steering wheel, her Pontiac slammed in through the back of the Harley-Davidson motorcycle. The guy said he was going no more than 20 miles per hour at the time. The impact was so hard it knocked his riding boots off his feet, sent him sprawling helplessly through the air. But when he landed, he said the woman or God or whoever wasn't done with him yet, he looked up and saw the Pontiac bearing down on him. He said, I could see her tire and the left bumper getting ready to run my face over. Literally, I was inches from the bumper, and I just said to myself, today is the day I die, end quote. Fortunately, the car did not crush his head. Instead, it rolled over his midsection, leaving him with several broken ribs, a lacerated spleen, and bleeding kidney, and, of course, some bad scrapes to his skin. This woman has tested negative for alcohol, but they have yet to run a full toxicology test. And she claims there was nothing at all mechanically wrong with her car and that she tried to stop before slamming into the man, but God had full control of the car and all she could do was watch.
I think we've all heard the phrase, you know, let Jesus take the wheel. But that's taking it a little far, but now we can go existential. We can go like really deep here. Like, what if she said that God told her to let them have the wheel of the car? Then the guy on the motorcycle who just got hit, he's laying on the ground, and the Pontiac's about to roll over his head, and he's like, dear God, please save me. Well, what if God's driving the car and God's going to have to stop the car at the same time? These would be two equal opposing powers, like huge magnets. And that could cause like a portal and time. I mean, who knows what could happen there?
Well, sometimes God gets confused, it seems like.
He's got a lot of things on his plate.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. And, well, at least nobody died, whatever that's worth. But,
$1.99.
Yeah, but, you know, and it's one thing if you just let, if you say, okay, fine, God, here, take over. But it seems like if he wants to take over, he should just take over. You know, why does he even ask? That's where it gets confusing.
He's polite, man. He's the Son of God.
So, we're going to take a break here. Later on, I'm going to see if I have an opportunity, speaking of godly things, to tell you about word on the street. The Vatican is preparing a new statement on extraterrestrial life. That sounds pretty interesting. But when we come back, we're going to talk about this new ghost photo from Church Street in Asheville, North Carolina. This program is presented to you by Wright's Coin Shop, also located in Asheville, North Carolina. I am Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange.